Yep. And the plant looked so beautiful, the wives would say, how come the plant looks like it eat lunch off the floor and our living room looks such a mess? And it really looked beautiful. Well, I was in charge of Family Day that year, and we decided that we'd redo the floor of the hangar. There's a hangar at the plant, still is. And we put all the airplanes out on the tarmac where the kids could systematically destroy them. And we now had a whole empty hangar, and I decided to have a radar display. Have yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we had those three radars. We had what was called the Aero 13, had it in an APQ-50, and then in production, we borrowed right over the production line an APQ-120, which currently produced airborne fighter radar going right into F-4Js, and Harry Smith's new radar called the WX-200, which is tomorrow's radar. And we put those right out in the hangar. And early that day, I was just standing there, and a guy comes in with his wife and two boys, and he sees the old radar, and he just stops in his tracks, and he says, my God, I designed part of that 20 years ago. And he was right on target, because the beginning of that design was in 52. Well, half an hour later, he's very excited to tell him still about all the things that worked and all the things that didn't work. And I got the idea right then and there, we should definitely have a museum and save these wonderful pieces of equipment being scrapped, because Uncle Sam will scrap them. Sooner or later, they will be scrapped, right. no matter what. And so, at that point in time, I said, we're going to have a museum. And so we got some guys together and started mulling this idea over. We started collecting right away. And the first radar set was one called the Aero 13, and it had been abandoned in place. Now, that's a nice contract clause. It has a nice ring to it. Abandoned in place. They leave it there, and it's for you if you want. If you don't, you scrap it.
Right.
Well, of course, we could latch on to those pieces of equipment. And so we started collecting right away. And of course, in that year, we didn't have any place to go with the museum. We didn't have anybody's approval for the idea of a museum. So it would take a lot of selling to get this idea approved. And even more selling to get the space for it. His space was always very tight, no matter what. And there was really no empty, idle, available space any place at any time. You had to create it. And we actually were able to collect a few items starting right then and there. And in 1982, we finally were able to talk Westinghouse into a space, small space, 2,000 square feet.
So it took 9 years for you to convince Westinghouse that this was a good idea.
Yeah. And in the meanwhile, we didn't know whether we should be a wholly owned subsidiary of Westinghouse, or should be wholly owned, or be totally independent. And we had numerous conversations with headquarters, and they suggested we ought to be a non-profit, wholly owned museum, separate from Westinghouse, incorporated in the state of Maryland as a non-profit museum. Well, being about two engineers, we had no idea how to incorporate ourselves. It turns out to be very easy, but we didn't know that. And it was quite a few years. It was 1980 we were incorporated. But we still didn't have a place to go. But we could at least have a board of directors, which we knew every corporation should have. And I selected two pilots, people who were pilots in World War II, and two lawyers. I thought I should surround myself with lawyers and pilots to be prudent.